There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey friends, this is Stacking Pennies Las Vegas edition. We had a really solid day. Just couldn't quite close the deal. We'll get into my seven cars day later on because we have Raja Karuth, ladies and gentlemen, coming in right here in Nonsense Garage to chop it up about his journey, about his big dub this weekend. Also, we're going to get into the Ugga Dugga 5000. We're going to get into Bubba's lug nut that would not come off. We're also going to talk about the five, cleaning house. So many storylines to talk to. Buckle up because this is Stacking Pennies. Stay tuned.
Stacking them deep, selling them cheap.
It tastes like gasoline, rubber, and victory.
We're just out here stacking pennies.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen. We are here in the Nonsense Garage, ripping off some Stacking Pennies, and it's just not a normal band of characters. I'm joined by the normal band of characters. To my right, front tire changer Ryan Blaney's Ford Mustang, Ryan Flores.
Yo.
And also, the big Truck Series winner, my teammate over at Spire Motorsports, Raja Kirby Karuth, joins us too.
Hey. What's happening? Thanks y'all for having me.
Come on in, but hey, nice trophy.
It's heavy. I accidentally dropped it.
It's heavy from the weight. It's coming off your shoulders of everybody asking when you're going to win.
It's like, y'all don't understand, man. Because so many people help you to get to a point, right? And, you always get close, and it's like, is it going to happen? You know, and it's nice to just
It happened.
It happened.
When did it sink in?
It still hasn't.
Yeah.
It still hasn't.
Because you got out. And it was like you just got done with a practice interview.
Well,
like, our truck's pretty good.
Yeah, like I thought about this obviously for years, right? You think about your first win, right? And you're like, oh, I'll be crying like a baby, and I was just like, huh, this is feels oddly calm.
I got a theory about that. I think it's because you have visualized it, you've worked for it, so it's not like it's not a surprise.
Yeah, it's not a surprise.
Because not just because you're sitting here, you are one of the hardest working guys in the garage. With your notes, with your sim time, with all that sort of stuff. Now it's all kind of came to fruition, and now you're starting to actually get trophies for the rewards for all the amount of your work you're getting. But previously to that, with the unknown of the GMS closing shop, not really having a deal, you were...
Not having one. Yeah.
Not many people know that, like, your deal over at our place wasn't done until legitimately 10 days before Daytona. Mm-hmm.
Contract was DocuSigned. In the month of February.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk about that offseason, just a lot of in limbo, a lot of hopes, having this truck over our place. Is it mine? Is it not? Is it going to
exactly.
happen?
Mm-hmm. So I think we'll backtrack to like last fall, and, you know, no one obviously wasn't going to, you know, GMS wasn't going to keep their truck program, and still having that relationship with Chevy, right? But I had a chance to go in a 38, and I kind of just said no, just because I trusted that there would be a place for me at Chevrolet, right? And honestly, like, for a lot of time, I'm like, man, I may have just screwed myself, you know? And I'm glad I stayed faithful, you know, because, although it came together really late, it's really because of Mr. H and Hendrick Cars and honestly the folks at Spire, Jeff, TJ, for betting on me, even though, like, not having the funding at first to run the whole year, they wanted me in the thing. And so a lot of people pulled some strength to make it happen.
I don't know if TJ's ever told you this to your face, but him and I have talked about you multiple times, even before you were in the mix or conversation halfway through last year. He called you a blue chip guy.
I don't know what that means.
That's really good, right? Shaquille O'Neal is a blue chip guy out of LSU. That, like, a five tool guy. You've got the work ethic. You got the look. You've got all the things going for you. You got the talent. And he wanted to be putting a deal together with you, and just with your journey with Alpha Prime, with all these stuff, your NASCAR career kind of developed like within the last 16, 24 months, right? You get a couple partners, you go to this middle tier, bottom tier Xfinity deal, and it was a struggle. right? Then you start, you could probably get in your head. So what was the confidence level like trying to go compete for wins?
It was hard because, like, I left the ARCA stuff. Like, I lost the championship, and I was, like, I was leading laps. I was running up front, then changed crew chiefs in the middle of the year, you know, stuff going on behind the scenes. And I really was, like, I didn't sell myself short thinking I was going to go and set the world on fire and that stuff, because it wasn't that. It wasn't a Cup affiliate team, right? But it was hard because you go from, like, running up front of, like, man, like, a good day is to finish 20th if nobody crashes. A good day is to finish 17th or
that's
15th,
no,
you know? Yeah. And, like, waking up and going to the racetrack and knowing that's the reality was hard. So I don't know. Like, I just reminded myself of my why of, like,
what is
driving the car is fun, right? And, you know, all the other stuff is great. You know, all the fancy things, the things off the track, like, that's fun. That's important things to do. But the driving is the funnest thing. Even if your thing is driving terribly, like, you're plowing the fence down or you can't get in the corner because you're crashing, like, so many people would pay a lot and do a lot to be in that spot, you know?
Yeah, and that's what, I mean, when everybody asks what the Stacking Pennies is about, right, that's what it's about. So Corey equates his career, much like what you just said, where it's like NASCAR 98, right? Or, like, I don't know, it'd be like NASCAR 05.
Dirt to Daytona.
Well, he'd skip that with iRacing. But it's like you start with an ARCA team, and then you get kind of a crappy Xfinity ride, more or less.
Yeah, you weather the storm.
You get, you know, a decent truck, and now you're in, you know, if you can win Vegas, you have a team that can win the championship.
Yep.
That's how Vegas is. So your focus has to shift to that. But that's what the road is. So what are the biggest lessons you think you took away from driving junk?
Yeah, and I mean, it wasn't even junk most of the time. Like, the Alpha Prime stuff was for not having motors, not having, like, support, you know, from Chevy. Like, that stuff was pretty solid, you know?
Yeah, it's not compared to Cup affiliate
teams.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I know that's why you're saying that. I just want to make sure that for those listening, like, that's not what it is, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
But I learned so much in that stuff from – how's this? There we go. From stuff like pit road, you know? I picked up a good amount of speeding penalties last year. Like, Dover, like, 40.08 miles per hour, right? But you can bet you I won't make that mistake in a truck.
So what won you the race this weekend?
Or when it matters. Right.
Or when it matters. Like, I did that trying to be the extra light faster running 20th at Dover.
That's the pennies, bro.
You know, 17th at Vegas, right? And I messed up our day, right? Finishing two or three, four spots worse than we would have. But those lessons were so pivotal. I even think about, like, my first big track racing Xfinity car, I wrecked on the second lap, you know? And, like, that was such a big moment for me just to, like,
did you feel like your career was over?
I thought that was it, dude.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, it's over, man.
Well, it's
a
lot.
Like, lasted.
It's a, yeah. That's a lot like his career, right? There's a reason you guys did a deal together on Fox.
Yeah.
What, a couple of years ago, right?
Oh, yeah. Because
it's pretty lateral to what Corey's was. I mean, his first Daytona 500, first pit stop, plowed
about
in
killed
the fence.
Clint Boyer.
About run Clint Boyer over and then, like, go to Vegas, right? And you had a pretty big wreck at Vegas.
Yeah.
Like, it was.
You're just trying to get a little bit more.
And that's where that came from, right? So that's exactly the progression you've been on. But we talk about it at length because we're short track guys. But, like, it's hard unless you grow up in a vicinity of a short track or a healthy short track program, or you move to North Carolina to race, like, to be a race car driver. But you have, like, I know William Byron was an iRacing guy, but you have, like, taken that to the next level because you didn't even get behind the wheel of a real race car till you're
17.
Yeah, so that was, what, 4 or 5 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really improbable story. How does it feel? I mean, I know you feel like you have a ton left to do in the sport, right? You're just starting. But it's got to feel pretty cool to just see how you are this week even, right?
It's just a relief, honestly, because you dream about it since you're, like, this tall.
Mm-hmm.
And you always wonder, like, oh, am I going to be able to even get to this point? Like, what is it going to feel like, you know? And then you get your foot in the door and it's like, oh, this is way harder than I thought it would be. And then the success doesn't happen immediately. Then you're just like, man, like, I've dreamt of this. Am I even meant to do this? You know? So, it's just a sense of relief, right? Like Grant asked me this morning, how's it feel? It's just like a sigh of relief, you know, like, playoff spot, but above all, like, I put it together. So,
do you feel like there's extra pressure? You're the third black driver to win in the top three series. Is that a whole nother level of expectation?
Yes, right? And no.
Tell me about
it. For sure. Because it's like, it's not like, it's a part of me, right? And I honor it, I cherish it, and it's a part of my personality. It's how I grew up, you know? At the same time, that also is not just, you know, that's not a character trait to an extent. Like, and so that's like, it is a little, I don't want to say pressure, right? Because the ultimate pressure is to perform.
That's right.
And do the best that you can and do the things during the week to be the best race car driver on Fridays and Saturdays. But honestly, I think about that all the time because I know the amount of people that are watching me. I know if I do good, the press that's going to happen. I know when I don't do good, the stuff that's going to be talked about. So I think about that all the time. And honestly, I take that as like a feather in my cap sometimes because it's like, man, like, if I do good, like, I can really help the sport. And yeah. I honestly, I love that because it's like, I mean, I grew up playing basketball. I grew up running track. Like, that stuff where people look like me, like, that's, you don't think twice about it, right? But I know, like, if I can do good in NASCAR, like, I can help the sport, like, so much because the people that I grew up with and, like, a lot of my friends and in that world, like, this is a completely different industry for them. So I know I can just help a lot.
Yeah, that's a big deal going back to the iRacing stuff is, like, a Kobe Bryant, right? A kid from Philly, can go to the basketball court and practice. If you want to play baseball, you can go to the baseball field and practice. If you want to race, you couldn't do that in the past, right? So that's a whole nother level to who you are as a person, not just being, you know, a black driver, but coming from iRacing, opening more doors for other people to be able to do that. A kid that doesn't, you know, that lives in inner city or lives out in the country, not close to a racetrack, they can become a race car driver because of the work they put in on that. But like, okay, so you've gotten your first win now. The goal is not just to win races, it's to be a champion. So you let it sink in. Now you're locked in the playoffs. When's the focus turn to building points and win the championship?
I mean, it starts right today. I mean, we show up in the mornings, we have our post-race stuff, and we just go from there, business as usual. For me, my focus lies on the tracks that I didn't do good at last year. I think about Richmond. I think about Martinsville. I think about Coda a little bit. Just, I know my strengths, you know, Bristol, the mile and a half, Darlington, the concrete places. Like, I know that's kind of, I got to hang out at that stuff, but I got to work on my short track stuff. So that's kind of where my focus is. Cause I know the stuff I'm going to be in is fast. It should be fast almost every week. So I have to step up to the plate where I know, like KB said in the comm meeting last week, is like, you fix you, then you tell, you know, the guys how to make the truck better, but you fix you. So that was like a holy cow moment for me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's right. So you mentioned Kyle Busch in the comm meeting last week, but there was others. There's also a clip post Daytona of Bubba grabbing you, right? There, that got a little bit of traction, right, wrong, or indifferent. SVG sat in this chair last week, and we talked about just some guys who have helped mentor him, right? Because right now, everybody's got something to say. This is what you should do. This is what you shouldn't do. But who are those couple guys that, like, okay, their opinion really matters, and this is what I'm going to apply to my career going forward?
I mean, I think about you. I think about Ross, Bubba, because, I mean, y'all have been there since I was racing ARCA and late models. And, like, I remember you sending me your K&N notes from when I was going to Dover for the first time and Phoenix and stuff like that. So that's a really good point because, you know, a lot of people want to help, right? But sometimes it's too much information because, like, they're not necessarily paying attention to what you have going on. Not saying, like, that's a bad thing, but they're just not kind of plugged in into the stuff that's going on in your world. So it's been helpful for a lot of you guys that obviously you're not looking at every race at every single moment, right? But you have a sense of what's going on and where we're at. Because I know that it's the same for Nick, same for Taylor. You look at Zillage or Katie and a lot of the other Chevy guys and guys and gals, I should say.
Is there a little bit deeper of a bond, though, between you and Bubba, knowing that you're up against kind of the same headwinds in the sport?
Yeah, I think, I mean, a lot of the conversations we have, it's like, it's cool because it's like, ah, you get it, you know? Yeah. And so that's really nice. And obviously, we do a lot of things together for NASCAR, whether it be conferences and things of that sort, which, I mean, I never mind, right? It's cool to talk about the sport. But it's nice. It's just like, you get it. So
that's exciting, man. I'm pumped. I'm super pumped for you.
I'm glad he's doing it at our place, too.
I guess I got a question. What, being in D.C., Grant, you might have talked about this at length, but I don't know. I've never heard you talk about it. What made you decide on being a race car driver?
So I was born in Atlanta, but I went to school in D.C., so I'd say I grew up there. But so I watched the Cars movie, obviously, but my dad
Are you a product of Lightning McQueen right now?
I'm a product of Lightning McQueen.
Let's go.
The Cruz Ramirez story.
He's more,
no,
you're more of a Jax the Storm, bro.
Not even. Cruz Ramirez.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Little diversity angle coming in. A little bit underdogish.
Underdogish, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, the Cars franchise. My dad would travel for work. You know, he did a lot of stuff in the music and sports industry. So he would get diecast sometimes. And I mean, that was it. I figured out how to like watch the NR 2003 videos on YouTube or the stop motions on YouTube and stuff when I was 7, 8, 10 years old. And then that's kind of where it started for real.
Mm. What do you think 21-year-old Raja is telling 13-year-old Raja right now?
Nothing.
No? Nothing at all? Not even talking to him?
You're not going to cry when you win your first race.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not saying nothing to him.
No, letting him learn.
No. Yeah, you got to learn it. Because it made me to who I am today.
Yeah,
so.
Dude, I'll say that you have been the biggest sponge in the garage. I think everybody would agree with that, right? Yeah. You ask questions like...
Sometimes too much, because then I just like...
Well, it's tough. That's, like, that's you talk about... like, but when you're a student of the sport, you just take a little bit from everybody, right? Like, if you go to a Hickory and watch a street stock race or something, you could take from one of them guys. Or you go, you know, you go to a cup race or stuff, you can take, and you're just taking little bits. It is weird, though, when you ask a lot of questions, because then you'll ask somebody a question that... and they'll give you their answer, but it doesn't quite work for you. And then they get pissed off that you don't listen to them.
Yeah.
You're like, no, it didn't really work for me. But it's obviously worked out for you because your trajectory has been steep.
Yeah. What do you think that trajectory looks like this season and then 5 years from now, where you want to be?
I don't think it would be fair to look 5 years, to be honest.
Yeah, but
I think internally.
But you got to know where you got to know where you're going.
Right. Obviously, you like to be racing on Sundays, right? That's the goal. But I can't get there if I don't put together a full season in this stuff, right? So that's
so
where
that look like week to week now.
I mean, just doing the same things and adjusting minor things. I think it's also a good reason, good feeling to start the season this well, because like y'all know, you do so much work over the winter and it's so easy to just have a gut punch. Like you get to Daytona and like I think about Cars and get wiped out 6 laps in the race, or Harrison, you know, and like, and then Atlanta, like lap wreck on the second lap of the race, you know. So it's I think for me, it's just adjusting little things. Like I said, putting a little bit more emphasis at, you know, COTA, Richmond, Martinsville, Gateway, you know, places that I didn't think I was that strong last year. And then not letting my guard down for the places that I know I've got a good, you know, handle on too, I think is important.
That's such a great point, because I'm sure you get that. It sounds like you get that question a lot, but yeah, you're in the fire right now, right? So if you try to focus on 5 years from now, you need to be focusing on the next five weeks, you know, like that, the next 5 weeks and the next, you know,
that's right.
like we talk about how you win this championship. Cause if you win this championship, it sets you up for the next 5 years.
Yeah.
So that's great point.
Last year, I was too focused on like the next thing, like, what's the next deal? Like,
what's
am I going to try to get the 9 or, you know, where I need to be here? And I think that just kind of diverted where my focus
too
needed
noisy.
To be. Yeah, too noisy.
Got to get rid of that noise, bro.
Yeah, and if you don't take care of what's right in front of you, you know, what's
there's
down
no
the
point.
Road,
you're
never going
to
get there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Well, I know you got to head up the road to our place for a post-race cop meeting, but first time on the show, you don't get to leave that easy. You're second time on the show.
Second time.
First time is a dub winner, though. Mm-hmm. Let's go. So 3 questions.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to add a fourth. I believe you answered, but if you had one race car and one racetrack the rest of your life.
You remember my answer?
No.
It was the 2009 COT at Homestead.
COT is a left field answer for sure. Mm-hmm. I was
2009, is that the wing?
With the wing.
Oh,
with the wing.
Just
I grew up on that.
Absolute box. Most embarrassing moment at the racetrack?
Ooh. Man, I got a couple.
Let's talk about the one this weekend, though. You said you didn't even try to go in the grass. And
oh,
burn out.
My gosh, dude. So, basically, I tried to do, like, the Logano burnout that he used to do.
Just sling it
just
to the
sling
right.
Sling it, yeah. And I think I just didn't match it right with, like, my shifting and stuff. And I'm like, oh, no. As soon as I got in the grass, I just, like, lifted and pushed the clutch in. So I'm like, this is, like, just a truck race. Like, let me not destroy the grass.
Oh, you did some yard work for
sure.
Did they tell you?
Jimmy in the maintenance cabin was
nobody,
really
nobody talked to
they,
me, but
they don't
I was,
tell you, like, in the driver's meeting, like, hey,
no.
Stay off the grass.
It's a little bit of
we're
an
gonna
assumed
see that,
thing.
We're going to see that in the next email before or the next place we have grass. Texas.
They told Corey that once at Bowman Gray Stadium.
Oh, the first thing I did was yank a left into a
rip the nose off. He ripped the nose off
the car. My dad was more pissed off about me ripping the nose off than he was winning the race. Yeah. Question number three, what is your first racing memory?
So there's my first race I went to at 12, nationwide race at Richmond. You may have been in that race in the 98, maybe, in 14?
Maybe. No, not Richmond.
Not Richmond? No. I remember watching the 2009 Carfax 250. It was the nationwide race that Brad won against Vickers and KB. That's probably my earliest racing memory.
Did somebody tell me you dropped this?
I dropped it coming out of the rental car. It was not my fault.
Oh no!
It was not my fault. So basically, we had to park our rental cars at like a different place. So like my door, like I went to move it, and the door swung open because of like how windy it was.
Oh my god!
So windy. Then it was so windy, and then down it came. I was like,
gravity.
Yeah, it got a little something right here.
I'm just glad my toe wasn't under because this thing's pretty heavy.
I'll save a story. I dropped a sway bar on my toe at South Boston for a later date. Oh, bro. Just,
like the not the arm.
I'm talking a 2.5-inch, the heavy inch and 3/4 bar right on my toe.
Right, just
took a drill bit right before qualifying and drilled the nail to let it leak out. It freaking hurt, bro. Last question. We're going to add this one for this
show. All right.
In what ways do you stack pennies?
By showing up every day when it's hard. Because like it's a lot of times where I start my days every day going to Josh's at 8 o'clock in the morning ish, and there's a lot of days where I'm like, man, I don't want to get up, but just going and just even if I don't feel great, just giving all I got that day, but also like not doing too much because I think it's very easy to like just like try to go and burn yourself out, but like if you're feeling like, oh, I'm only 70% today, well, just do your best of your 70%. So yeah, just showing up and. That's it. It's not. I said this a couple of times. Like, it's nothing special about me. It's just, I just care a lot and try.
The difference between the good ones and the great ones isn't very much, buddy.
Yeah, that is special. Yeah, right?
Knowing it, doing it's hard part, man. And you're doing it 1 week at a time. Congratulations on your first career truck win. Many more to come. Thanks for joining us in the studio.
Thank you, Roger Cruz. Appreciate you,
gentlemen.
Thank you.
Invite us to the banquet if you win the championship.
It'd be pretty.
We're
fun,
calling it here.
All right.
That 71 truck's going to be a force this year, ladies and gentlemen. More Stack and Pennies coming up right after this.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Ever since I've driven the Chili's car at Daytona, everybody's asking me, what is your Chili's flavor? All right, guys, listen up, because I have the all-time, the official Corey LaJoy Chili's food list. And it's going to start with some chicken fajitas. It's also going to go with some chicken crispers with ranch. We're going to go, I don't know, the old-timer probably is going to fit somewhere there. The Southwestern egg rolls, as long as they come with ranch. Now, that's not all. Because then you have the chips and salsa. You have to eat not one, not two, but three baskets of chips, probably the skillet, probably also with some ranch. Just keep the ranch coming and right on down to Chili's. And we're back. We kicked Raj out of studio. We are back, and we're going to break down all things Vegas. But first off, what a stud that guy is.
You can tell he's got good people around him. And I'll tell you what. I said it to him. I'll say it here. If you win Vegas, you are an odds-on favorite for the championship. And some of the answers he gave there shows a lot of maturity. And I think that he can win this championship this year. I know it's early, but it wouldn't surprise me.
It's a hot take.
I don't think so.
I think so.
Okay.
I mean, it's a fairly warm take.
I bet you a penny.
I got plenty of those because I had about 15 people Venmo me pennies this week. So I appreciate all the people who are listening and Venmo'd me enough to probably buy not even a pack of gum, but nonetheless, appreciate that.
Keep a tally on all of the pennies you get this year. And then at the end of the year, if Raja wins the championship, I'll bet you that much.
All right, that's a deal.
Okay, cool.
I'll shake on that. And I hope to be giving you all the pennies I got.
Damn right.
Because I would love to see that 71 truck with Chad Walters and Raja, Aspire Motorsports, get that big trophy. But nonetheless, this week was a, like you mentioned, a great gauge on the strength of your team. Vegas is the barometer of how much downforce you make in terms of drag, in terms of efficiency, horsepower, and mechanical grip. Like, Vegas is the true test of where you stack up. We went to Daytona, went to Atlanta. Those guys are animals of their own, but Vegas is a true telltale of how you stack up.
Yeah.
And we unloaded with some speed, top 15 speed with the 77, and myself was super pumped up to see that. Barely missed out a second round qualifying. It's close. I mean, you can be 4 or 5 hundredths off.
You were right there. Dude, qualifying, watching it was electric. I watched it in my hotel room by myself, and I was like into it because I had the ghost car. And
it
then
takes
like
full commit too.
Well, what's cool is like you can watch you guys who gets up to speed good. And then you guys would kind of run the middle of 1 and 2. So who would get through there good? And then it was like everybody was pretty close. And there'd be guys ahead at the end of the backstretch that would just blow turn 3.
Yeah.
And it was like so technical to get through turn 3, right?
And with also a 45-mile-an-hour wind gust.
Yeah, because you could tell like who didn't get in there, who got shoved in there by the wind, or who, like, the most interesting part to me was like Logano. He's like, I don't think I'm going to make it, but I know what I could have done better. And they kept kind of going back to him and showing him because everybody was really close to knocking him out. So they kept kind of looking, like showing him. So then when he made the final round, you could tell him, be like, okay, I know what I got to do now. And to watch him make that adjustment and get the pole was like,
champ.
But it was just like really cool when you, to see that at a high, that was like high level NASCAR stuff.
Well, also the parity, right? You can qualify, look at Noah Gragson, qualified 30th and ran 6th.
Yeah.
I mean, the guys that qualify in the 30s can still have a chance to execute the day and be there at the end. But we were there early, started 17th, drove to about 14th, took 2, restarted 4th behind old Denny Hamlin, 2 podcasters on the outside lane leading the field, and we both got a pretty good jump. He was on rights as well, and this worked out for us. You never really know what to expect when you take 2, but the hang-on pace of our car was really good. We're a little bit tight when the clean air. I can tell you this. Racing in those first 3 or 4 rows is a completely different race than what it is in the free. So you're not 6 wide for 19th. A lot more give and take.
Look at you. Were you nervous sitting on the front row there?
No.
Well, you weren't. Like, you were on the front row because, like, the splash zone with the 2 orca whales in front of you.
Well, there's a lot of – I feel like I was in SeaWorld with the
a lot 19th. Of Toyotas.
A lot of Yotas, especially off of 4 when I – did a little bit of a self-clear up in front of the 19. I had a mirror full of an orca whale.
Ooh.
So I think in that moment, you know, you want to try to get the cleanest air you can, especially, you know, you're at a tire disadvantage. As we see here on YouTube, you can see the 19's in-car camera and just closing the door on that USonic Camaro with a mirror full of the orca whale.
I kept thinking, speaking of that, I kept thinking when I saw your car, did you have a Shark Week car once?
I wish.
There was a Shark Week car, and that's what it looked like. So I kept thinking that you were sponsored by Shark Week.
Yeah. But we were able to hang on. We got a caution maybe 15 laps later. Then everybody came back down, put 4 on it, and we equalized. And we ran legitimately in the top 5 for the entire first stage. So that was a lot of fun. Made me super confident with just our processes and what we're bringing to the racetrack. Because, like I said, that's a true test.
Where'd you finish in the first stage?
7th.
Okay, because the first stage was, like, super long.
Yeah.
Because Blaney even came over and he was like, well, no. He was like, that was the longest 27 laps or 32 laps I've ever run. Because we did 2 pit stops in the first 32 laps.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, like, we could run out of our tire allotment here because I think we only had 7 sets. We put scuffs on at one point. And I was just like, man, this race historically just runs green.
Yeah.
But did you, because we were like 15th at one point, and then we ended up passing you right before the end of a stage, or we were right behind you at the end of the stage. Because you came out after that stage, you guys had a good pit stop.
Came out fourth.
Came in where?
7th.
7th.
Yeah. And maintained there.
Yeah.
All the way up until the green flag stop, we lost maybe 5 or 6 under green.
5 or 6 up spots. Yeah. Something happened.
We had a double pump on the old jack. We've got that pit stop as well. If like we wanted to fire that up,
like yeah, to jack it back,
jack
up.
It back up to for the right rear.
Ah,
you know, and I didn't think it was going to be too detrimental under green. It's pretty spread out. My guys had a couple heaters on the day. They were really good. Oh, and the right rear is not tight. Jack it back up. Jack it back up under green. I think that was probably a 12-second stop. So you give up 5 seconds on track, several cars in between us. And that's really and truly, that was kind of when the day got started to get a little bit away from us because our balance was a little bit tight. And the further you get from cleaner air, the tighter our stuff got. And we just couldn't quite get on the other side of it. So we were on the fringe of the top 10. I think we finished 11th in stage two, which is still for us, like, hell yeah, we're having a day here. But then you get in the hornet's nest. We maybe lost a couple more under caution, come out 14th, 15th, and racing with 77. First time we raced side by side all year. He got a little aggressive on the bottom of us and plugged us in the fence.
Hokevar. He got your teammate.
Yeah. He stuck us in the fence. We bent a toe link, and then we were going backwards. And then kind of set up the downturn of our day. So we're hanging on. I'm a little bit loose and playing a little bit of defense here with the six, just trying to get it home. We probably had 20 to go. Saw him coming. I was already free and peeled it off the wall, already on the verge of left right rear grip, and just that change of pressure from that six car packing it in there and removing some downforce off that left side spoiler. Was enough to lose traction.
Just from that closing rate?
Just the closing rate. I was a little bit loose,
it just,
right?
Like, pushed it. So that's like the bubble we talk about at Super Speedways. It just kind of pushed the bubble to you and spun you out. Damn.
Yeah, it just took a lit. Like, I was already on the verge of slipping, right? I was already a little bit loose, and all it took was just that, that kind of the bubble burst to the left rear. Backed it in, actually, was like, I hit. I was like, oh, damn, that kind of hurt.
Kevin Harvick, like, I watched the extended highlights last night. He's like, ooh, that was a pretty tough hit. And then when you hit the apron.
It was one of those, like, you're sliding so long, and I'm, like, wide open, trying to keep it off the fence, like, bah! And I'm looking out the right side window, and I'm looking at the left side, like, I think I'm good. And as soon as I was, like, good, pow! Oof. Damn it!
Then you're sliding down the track with everybody coming at you. And Harvick mentioned, he said, you don't understand how hard that hit on the apron is. He's like, that hit on the apron is brutal.
Well, yeah, because it's just straight. Z right through your back, right through your backbone. Luckily, I had a good
sore today.
Pretty sore, really? My back sore, because you don't realize how kind of slumped over you are in the seat, especially after 200 miles. Your posture is kind of like sunken, right? Because you keep like tightening your belts every pit stop. So over the course of the race, your posture is just getting worse and worse, right? You don't realize how much you're kind of hunched because you're just kind of comfortable and sunk in, and then when you back it in the fence and it just like you don't realize how quick it straightens your posture up. Like, oh my goodness. That freaking hurts.
Do you put any blame on Brad there or no?
No, he was doing what he's supposed to do. Now, if I just run lane two and don't try to get to the bottom, I was trying to shut the bottom off, but I didn't anticipate him getting
aero
there.
Aero block, if you will.
I thought that was a pretty interesting comment from Ross. Did you see what Ross had to say about Blaney?
Yeah, I guess I saw, like, he was mad that he aero blocked him.
No, he just said he's proud of him to see how far he's come in terms of learning how to aero block.
Yeah,
I was like,
listen,
oh,
I'm sure
good.
Look, aero blocking is one of them things that it's frustrating when it's happening to you, but
you got
to
do it.
It's good when you're doing it to somebody else, right?
It's necessary, like, evil.
Yeah, I don't,
but hey, you got to do it. Why, you can't just let the guy get to you. Like, I mean, if you got the option to shut the lane off, you shut it off.
Or maybe since what he did to Blaney at Phoenix when he was trying to win a championship, man, Blaney's gonna do it back to him all the time,
for sure. You race people how exactly you're gonna be raced.
Yeah,
so. It's just the way it's been. It's always the way it's gonna be.
Yeah,
it's what it is.
I don't know. I'll tell you what.
Or if they get too close, you just throw a trash bag out of your window,
bro. I can't even begin to
tell you guys how freaking windy it was. I know we're talking about it a lot.
I've seen trash, but I've never seen a full trash bag. And Rudy Frugal went on record on SiriusXM saying that there was still a beer can in that trash bag when they took it off. So they pull in, Cordero ripped it off, and then, like, you know, somebody in the, like, we were watching that live because we were in the next pit stall from them, and I was like, damn, dude, that's a full freaking trash bag.
55-gallon trash
bag. Somebody in the parking, in the infield cam lot was like, oh, damn, our trash bag's gone.
I only had one Busch Light can in that thing, too.
Yeah, they needed it. If they had a little bit more, it probably wouldn't have blown away, but you cannot talk about how bad the wind was. I mean, we almost didn't even land on Saturday. we had to go around, and then all the planes that left later than us had got stuck in Tulsa for 4 or 5 hours waiting for the wind to die down. So it was like, yeah, they said that we might have to land in Bullshead and drive to Vegas because that's how bad it was.
Dude, I've never seen more wind in my life.
No, I mean, people talked about during qualifying, it was so windy that it was even blowing stuff onto the track, like dirt and dust. And that,
so much
trash.
You
want to be one of the first ones. And it's tough, man.
But it actually, on the racetrack, everybody's like, oh, does it push the car drop? Not really.
Really?
No. I mean, you felt a little bit of tailwind down the back, and you felt a headwind down the front in just terms of RPM, just a little bit of, like, resistance. But you would think that it kind of would move the car around, but it wasn't super noticeable.
That's a hot take, because I heard other drivers say that, that it does move the car around a lot. So maybe they're being dramatic, or maybe you're just playing it cool. I don't know.
What I do know is I was happy with the pace of our car, because you don't really know what to expect. You don't know if your simulation translates to reality, and it does. So if we can keep bringing some hot rods like that to the racetrack, I'm going to be pretty pumped up about that, because I think we were legitimately a top 10 car.
Yeah, all day. You all and day. The 77.
Yep.
Right? High tide raises all ships. So both of you guys are contenders now. But Cliff had that 5-car dialed in.
Yeah, I mean, you got the best driver, best team. He gets around Vegas with his eyes closed. Swept the day.
Just barely. I think he just barely inched out Tyler on one of the stages. Dude, Reddick, I'm telling you, if anybody's going to have a breakout season and win 5-7 races that you don't think, it's Tyler Reddick. And he was ripping the top. He just made like one mistake in lane choice at the end of the race. He was running the top, and he got to Larson, and Larson like did like an arrow block on him, and then they went down to three coming to the white. Mm. And he ran the bottom behind him and just lost it. Mm. Where if he would have ripped the top again, I mean, dude, think...
At that point in time, Larson's just driving straight out of his mirror.
Yeah, but you put him in a position where he's got to choose, right? I don't know why Tyler committed to the bottom.
Because he thought it was best?
But it wasn't. Because, him running the top the way he was... There's no... I think he does it better than Kyle Larson.
Oh.
I think, like, when Tyler Reddick hits the top right, he is... He's the only one that can rival that.
Yeah. Dude, and he'll, like, blow it off, too. Like, everybody else is 3-foot off the fence. He is on the board. It's like,
I remember
dirt
that.
And stuff freaking blowing everywhere.
During COVID, when we first came back, they'd be like, everybody's on the bottom 8-car, because when he was driving the 8 car's only one against the fence.
Yeah, running 2 seconds faster than everybody else at Darlington. I don't disagree with that take. Tyler Reddick might be the best at running the fence.
They had the spoiler cam. And it was sick because it was like behind the spoiler looking at the C post and had like the Jumpman logo on it. Like right, I mean, inches off the fence. And the scary part, and you can attest to this, that the scary thing from like to watch is that you're against the fence and then your car comes away from it off of 4 and then you get like it flattens out again. So it looks really challenging.
Yeah, the radius of the wall in 3 and 4 isn't consistent. Like that last little bit, it's tempting to go out there, but then that thing comes way back in, probably what seems like 4 or 5 feet. So, yeah, you got to pull it off the wall like the 3-quarter marker. It'll just suck you right
in. Sounded like it was really hard to build runs. That's what Ryan was saying. He's like, I can't run the top any harder, and I can't build a run.
Yeah, I think it was the tire. The tire was a different right side. It had a little more, quote-unquote, durability. Didn't lay down quite as much, and it didn't really fall off a whole lot. You saw a lot of guys on 2 maintain, especially the 1 towards the end of the day after a speeding penalty. Make his way back, take 2, and was able to fight for that P4 finish.
Well, other than the tires, there was people that laid down some stops on pit road and some people that fell off as well. So,
yeah, I mean, it's a full team effort. Like you said, if your team is successful and it can find its way towards the front at Vegas, that's a pretty good barometer how you stack up. So how do you like the 12 chances? Ended up P3, solid day.
I liked our day. Yeah, that's how you win championships that day. I mean, we weren't the fastest team on pit road. We weren't the slowest team on pit road. We were there when it counted and kept them in the race all day. That's what I mean. That was a blue collar day for us. We weren't going to win, but we maximized our day.
Yeah.
So
there was a couple people that did not.
Let's go talk about them
in pit road. Boats and woes coming up right after this.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And we're back with some pit rows and several woes for some potentially race-winning cars in Kyle Busch and Bubba Wallace. So let's check the tape. What happened to the 8?
So the 8 car come in, dude, Vegas, the slickest pit boxes we go to them. I think they're one of the slickest. They're kind of like, they don't look it in length, but they're tighter. Like, they're wide and tight. And you, anytime we would go to the West Coast swing here, Phoenix is a little bit better now since they did repit road. But California was this way. You would just slide through the pit box. So he got in a little hot. He slid long.
But whose job is it to say, hey, yo, we are on the line?
Every team has a guy. You know, it's different. Everybody's coached up differently. That one's really close, but it's still
horseshoes and hand grenades, right, man.
So if we watch the tape, there's a black line and a white line.
Yeah.
The black line is only there so you can see the white line because it's a concrete pit box.
Right.
So it's the white line. Mm. If you're on that line, I think it's a one lap penalty. I don't know if it's pass through, but it's a no-no to touch your car. A lot of times if you touch it and you back up, they'll kind of let you have it because you took the penalty of backing the car up. Yep. But you cannot service your vehicle like they are on the line there. Every team's different. The guy who catches the front tire is usually the one that's furthest to the front of that car. And he can wave his hands and say no. But really, at the end of the day, like for me, on our team, I'm the guy making that call. Mm. And it's a tough call to make because you're just giving up time.
Yeah.
1,000%. But if you kind of have to check off on it and it's not over the line, you did give up some time, but it's risk versus reward. And there's also scenarios, too, where like...
Where was he running when he came down?
He in was the top in the five. Top five all day.
Yeah.
So it's definitely tough, but it's not just the picker's fault. It's a full team breakdown, right? The way that you fix that, you go to the root of the problem. You
don't stop long.
You don't stop over the line.
Yeah.
So, yes, they service the car, but you go to the root of the problem. You don't stop over the line. So it's a full team. Full team error.
Man, threw it away.
Yep, and then we go, obviously, another big one was the 17. 17 lose a lug nut.
Oh, right front, huh?
Yeah, that was tough early. And it hung on for a while.
Until it didn't.
Until it didn't. But that's the thing, man. Pit roads, that's what happens. If you don't get them tight. And I had a couple yesterday that didn't want to run up. And, you know, Vegas is the first real test, and we saw a lot of heaters on pit road.
Oh, boy, there goes the wheel. Oh, no, the 17 car. Ka-thunk.
If you
hate to see it,
there's a lot of speed in just going in and tapping that nut or tightening it, and it's a game you play. It's a risk you take.
There it goes. You can even see slow motion the lug nut. Tink.
I wonder if they knew it was loose or not, because they were out there for 10 laps.
At this point, I believe Chris realized it was loose. Before he made contact.
Yeah, but I'm wondering if the guys in the pits knew it was.
At the time where Fox broadcast shows 17 in the fence, I think they're
You're 10 laps in at that point.
Yeah.
Right? And like,
yeah, you feel like, you already got your helmet off, eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Like,
I don't know. If your wheel falls off like that, you don't have your helmet off because you are like, I'm not sure if that thing's tighter. You know. And we all have high speed helmet cameras. So, like, I wonder if they were like, it's close. Let's just see. But, like, when you look at it, if they're looking at it today from a broad view, they're probably like, man, we probably should have pitted if we had a question. But it's early in the season. You're not really in your rhythm. You don't have a good feeling on what's tight and what's not. Like, everybody, I don't know if the person watching the film is a new guy, you know. It's tough.
So, is that guy on a vacation now?
Yeah, not yet because it's not Tuesday, but I'd say that Tuesday at 4 o'clock, it'd be 2 weeks.
Okay. Yeah, what is it?
Jack, man.
Okay, that's what it is.
Yeah, 2 weeks. So, that's a tough way, man. Mm. Vegas is always like our pit coach gets super emotional about like the West Coast swing because it's like the first real gauge. And I think people come out of Vegas and the West Coast swing with like a really like I've seen like some like yeah, we're good, you know. But like I always tell everybody,
some swag.
I always tell everybody, yeah, you don't really want to peak the third race of the season, but
there's only 33 left.
But it's good to gauge, and you know you want to be the best all year long. What you don't want to happen is what happened in the 23. That's just a tough. It's a tough day. They got a lug nut caught on the left front. It's easy to do, especially
when you
got to
get the carrier
front.
Jumping on a torque wrench. You're not having a good day.
Which I don't know how they got there, because I did see that they had. I like you call it the Ugga Dugga 5000.
Yeah,
I like to call it Thor's hammer.
That sucker right there.
That's a gun that Paoli gives you. It kind of looks, for those of you just listening, it looks like a Gatling gun. You buy them from Paoli. You said you guys have a Milwaukee one. That one has...
We got an electric one, yeah.
That one, it looks like a damn jackhammer.
Yeah.
But,
what's the torque when you hit, like, what's a normal torque on a normal pit stop?
1,000 pounds.
What's that?
Ooh. See, like, ours is... I don't know what that one is, but I'll say this. Ours is... Like, you can't put it in forward.
Yeah. Because
if you tighten it with that, it ain't coming off.
Yeah.
So, you take it, you know.
What are they trying to cut it off with here?
Probably a concrete saw. Yeah, a concrete saw. Because you cut it, and right when you cut it, it relieves the pressure. Pop, like, pops open.
Oh.
But, man, it was the left front. So, how we get here, right, is the left front is kind of how you can make up time. We see a lot of the Hendrick cars, a lot of the teams that are – you know, kind of at the top end of this fast time list that we got going here.
That's a pretty high tech list you got there, buddy.
It's nice.
You spent some time on that thing.
Well, we're stacking pennies still. We don't have any dollars. But when you, we probably could have used all the pennies that you put on the floor over here.
No.
Put it towards the
whiteboard. It looks better on the floor.
But when you rip the jack, right, if the jack man puts the left rear on and just turns and cuts the jack and trusts that the left front's going to be tight, or at least get tight on the ground as it's leaving, there's a lot of time in that. So if you come back and you rush the trigger and the gun spins a little bit and the hang is flat, so the carrier must have had the hang flat and the front.
What's that mean?
Like when you put the tire on, it's flat. It's flat against the plate. Yes, okay. It's really good.
Okay.
So you want it flat, but when it's like that and your gun is spooled up and it catches those threads, it'll almost pull the nut out of the gun and like tighten it so hard and so fast that it just, you're not able to get it back. You're not able to get the nut back off.
It was perfect. Too perfect.
It's too perfect. Yes, exactly the way to put it. And you kind of know when you do that, like, uh-oh, this one could be tough. And you got to go, I don't know what they did in that sequence of events watching the film, but you got to go right to Thor's hammer.
You bring it out with you.
You go, hey, man, set up Thor's hammer here. And, like, for me, I would just be like, plug it into the backup gun. Come around when I go to do the left sides. If it's not coming off right away, you just grab that. Because you can't.
How many times did that happen?
The torque wrench is not going to.
How many times did that happen?
To me?
Yeah.
Once. Yeah, I was the first one that ever. Well, I think I was the first or second, because it was California, the second race of the season after we won Daytona 500 with Austin. Had one on the right front. We came in for the last stop, and it just wouldn't come off. And I'm like, I remember like hitting the nut, and, like, duh, 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 and I looked, I made eye contact with Bolins. And I shook my head like, no.
Ah!
And what was crazy,
I can't get it.
What was crazy is the rear gun must have been more powerful. It was like I'm telling you, it was the second race of one lug nut. So the guy from the rear came over and his gun took it off. We didn't have a way to take it off then. We didn't have the big gun.
The new technology.
The bazooka.
Ugga Dugga 5000.
We didn't have that Thor's hammer.
What'd you have this weekend? Thing. I see the 12 car keyed up. Did you have a little bit of an issue on pit road?
Zach come around. And he'll slip in some gas here, but
a little half out of the right rear adjustment, tighten that boy up.
He still crushes it. So that what happened there?
What happened here?
It looks fine. Pit road super slick. Chris unplugs a little bit of fuel. All it takes, there's no abrasiveness to this pit road at all. So any little bit of dust or fluid on the ground,
you bust your ass.
1,000%.
You'll bust your ass.
So. What he does great there, though, is a lot of times if you fall like that and hit the gun on the ground, it'll switch it from off to on. And then you'll go to hit the hub and your gun will be going the wrong way. So he handled that.
It looked like it didn't even slow stop down.
He handled that like a pro. It was funny. It was like on the open mic when he fell. Like, I'm standing here at the left front light and I just hear him go, "Wah!" I was like, are you okay? but yeah, we had a blue collar day. It wasn't blazing fast. We had our fastest stop of the day.
Which was
the last stop of the day, 9-3, and hey, that leads us
to the dogs
of the week.
Who is it?
New rule New Stack and Pennies rule here in Nonsense Garage. If you set the fastest time of the year or the best average of the year, you are the dog of the week.
Instantly.
So we have two this week right behind me.
I thought there would only be one dog.
No, not if you do it twice in the same week.
But we're in the third week of the season, so we got to pick one.
No, it's really the first pit crew week of the season.
Okay.
So
that's fair.
Hey, man, my segment, my rules. We got two this week.
All right. It's a lot of dogs.
Mainly because the ones
too many dogs in the hen house.
One too many dogs in the doghouse. But it's okay because I like both these teams.
Okay.
The 11 team sets the fastest stop of the year. They did it on the money stop, the last stop of the race.
In 888.
They come in, 888. So they were second.
That's scooting.
They were second on the day on average to the 22 team, who set the best average of the year at a 945. So both of those teams, end of the year really strong. Pick up the season, pick up where they left off. Hendrick had a lot of speed. Your guys obviously had a lot of speed. A couple woes that took you out. But I also have seen a lot of the Hendrick guys going to the Ludwig jack drop.
Oh, yeah?
They do the old backwards reverse jack drop. So
he's the original bulldog.
Yeah.
He's a dog. But it's pretty cool. Check the tape on that.
Yeah, but shout out to the 11 and the 22, them dogs this week.
Four tires and some Sunoco gas at 8 seconds. 0.88 is moving and grooving.
Yeah, there was 3 8-second stops this week, and there was 10 stops under 9.1, so in the 9.0 range. So, yeah, definitely a lot of speed for the first real test for these teams this year. So those are my thoughts. Let's go get some pennies for your thoughts.
Let's do it. I like that. We're going to Phoenix this week. But we got a couple good penny for your thoughts questions, a couple of which I already answered earlier in the show.
Yep. I got a couple just fired over here on Twitter. I'm going to pull up right now. We're going to go live from Twitter.
# penny for your thoughts. Fire them over on X every week.
Oh, okay. Here's one right now.
Tell
James
me.
Greenlow. Do pit crews practice having to cut lug nuts off? It's not something you practice, but it's something you prepare for.
That's a road crew thing probably, right?
It's an everybody thing.
It's just like a panic mode.
Hey.
At that point in time, your day's done.
If you want it done fast, have the pit crew do it. If you want it done right, have the road crew do it.
Also, that if you get the Ugga Dugga 5000 or the old cutoff wheel for the lug nut, your day's pretty much done.
Yeah.
You're not recovering from that.
Yeah. Okay, here's one. Why? Top. This is one comes from Captain Ron 16. He's got the Pirates flag, so I don't know. He's got the Black Pearl on here. Why do drivers run the middle lane in the tri-oval at Vegas on long runs? Wouldn't going down to the line be slightly faster? So he's wondering why you guys don't run the white line down the straightaway or the flat.
Most of the time, you're trying to get a little sniff of whoever's in front of you.
So you're just running wherever the guy in front of you is?
Some of it is you don't want to put any more front scrub in your wheel. So if you are just turning your wheel more off the corner to try to get down there, you have to turn it more on entry of 1-2. So I think you're putting a little bit more scrub in your front tires as opposed to just kind of holding like a very minimal wheel bend throughout the tri-oval. I think some of it's that. I think some of it's wherever the guy in front of you is going. If that guy goes to the bottom, you're going to go to the bottom. But most of the time, it's kind of drug right around one lane off. That kind of sets you up for turn one better and a better angle into the corner. So I've never really thought about that. This kind of goes where the car wants to go, man.
Here's one more from John Wilmoth. This is a decent one. During a race weekend with delays and et cetera, what are the guidelines for you being able to enjoy a cold beer or another adult beverage? Just curious after the Daytona schedule went to, he says it was a soup sandwich. But, yeah, with the rain delay, because we've had that conversation with our coaches before.
About if you drink or not?
Like, hey, guys, there's a 2-beer minimum thing before race. Like, I'm not a big drinker anyway. But.
Yeah, a couple years ago, I just stopped drinking pretty much on the entire weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, just make it a point. As soon as you fly out, if the wife's there, we might split a glass of wine or something. But other than that, no alcohol, no need for inflammation. Lock in for business.
Well, being hydrated is such an advantage mentally too.
Yeah, you don't. You just think that if you're hydrated, you won't cramp up, right? But it's such a difference in your cognitive function over the course of the race.
I'm not a guy that can drink and be good. I'm not.
Yeah, you're old, bro.
Well, I've just never been anybody that's good at drinking. But like, there are some pit crew guys that can like throw them back and just rip the next day like nothing ever happened.
So those are some great penny for your thoughts, questions. Keep firing those over. We got some good penny stackers. We had no less than 10 people Venmo me a penny, at least a penny. Some guy even fired over $5.
Whoa.
Yeah. Appreciate that.
500 pennies.
Yeah, that's a lot of pennies. So, yeah, you guys are the penny stacker of the week. You guys made me laugh. Appreciate y'all listening. Continue to show your support. Not only Venmo me a penny if you want to. You can. What actually would mean more to me, if you would just follow us on wherever you follow your podcast, you would give us a 5-star rating. You would share us on with your friends on social media. You would follow us on @_stackandpennies on Instagram to get the ice cold Arctic trivia question that we're going to be giving out something every single week. And also listen to SiriusXM Channel 90 as well.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We had a couple Grind My Gears, and you actually were a firsthand witness to what Grind My Gears this week, buddy.
Well, it was so awkward. I was on the phone with you, yeah.
You must have just landed or something, and you were hanging out at the South Point, and you called me. I was just leaving the Rabideaux National Rugby League game. Was it Allegiant Stadium? The Roomba, as you call it?
It looks like a Roomba, dude.
Bro, I was on the field when them fellas came walking out of the tunnel, and there was some Samoan guys that looked like they were going to absolutely eat somebody's head off.
Yeah.
Dude. I got scared, dude, for the other players.
Yeah, imagine having to go out there and
literally just knock heads every play. Didn't really understand it, but it was electric to watch.
didn't understand it.
No, they just smash you into each other, then every now and then they'll just kick it to the other field. I don't know. And then people get into it.
I'm not going to tell. Next time SVG's on here, I'm not telling them that you're knocking rugby. I'm not telling them that.
No, I think it's an electric sport.
Don't know what the hell's going on, but we'll
have a little barbaric. I was talking to some fella named Wade Graham. Guess who? He's a big deal in the National Rugby League back in the day.
Nice.
I only could make out about every third word that he says, but he kept saying footy. I'm playing footy. They call it footy, not rugby. So it took me a little bit of time to figure that out. That's why I said in my post, big footy guys. Apparently that's what they call rugby. But on the way back, I get an Uber. Nice fella in a Tesla. I'm in the back, and it's like a 5-minute ride back to the hotel. And I've got my legs crossed. I'm in the right rear seat, and I've got my toe. Like, he's got the passenger, like the front row passenger seat, like as far back as you can go. Not considerate. Already 1-star doc. Uber etiquette. So I'm like, my knee is on the back of the seat. My toe is in between the seat and the door. Right, so he can, if he peeks over, he sees my toe, my size 11 foot toe, like sticking out behind, next to the door. And he says, "Sir, don't put your foot on my car. You heard all this."
And you go, "It's not up there. Look at it."
I said, "I'm not touching your seat, dude. I'm not getting your seat dirty." And we argued for like 3 minutes.
I was in the middle of the argument.
I said, "Hey, sir, look at my foot right now. Look at it. Is it touching anything? Is it touching anything?" No. And it was just pin drop quiet. I said, "Ryan, I got to go. I got to handle this."
No, I was awkwardly like, man, call me later.
Yeah, I got a situation here. This fella's about to get a 0-star rating. Kidding me?
But they can give you a rating too.
So I had a heater of an Uber rating weekend going. I had 3 5-star reviews up until this fella.
So, okay.
So I believe it's a wash because I gave him a 0-star and he gave me a 0-star and we agreed to disagree.
Would you rather?
No, I remember rubbing on his Tesla.
I've got a good word. Would you rather get yelled at by some guy driving a Tesla or pay $250 for when you get a bike ride back to your hotel in Chicago.
That $250, what do they even call those things? Pedicabs? Was much more of an enjoyable experience than I had in that Tesla.
It was a nice experience until you got the bill.
Even so. We didn't argue about putting my feet on something that wasn't even my feet on. So really,
hey, look, if I'm riding my bike a block and you're paying me $250, you can put your foot wherever you want.
Yeah. So it was worth it. That was a great pedicab ride. Don't recommend it. If you know, any other means of transportation would be highly more cheap than that. But yes, I'd rather rode in that fellow's petty car again and pay $250 than ride with that fellow.
It was so awkward on the phone. I texted you like later. I'm like, I didn't know if you were in a back alley. Like the guy was like, all right, I'm beating this guy with my stick here.
I was like taking a back look. I was like, what is this fellow talking about? My foot is not making contact with anything in his vehicle. So once I realized he was actually fired up, I was like, no, sir. I'm fired up.
Wow.
What ground your gears this week?
I'm good. I got no ground gears.
What'd you think about...
I'll tell you, one thing that does grind my gears, Brendan Gaughan, please stop letting people smoke cigarettes in the South Point.
They would have to knock the place down to the ground and rebuild a new one if they want to get the smoke.
I love everything. The cigarette smoke is just enough for me to just not want to go back.
Yeah. Hey, what'd you think about a little bit of Denny Hamlin's comments this week on the podcast?
I peeing in his car?
Yeah. Got a little graphic.
Interior guy.
Got a little graphic.
Ugh. So, like, what I know about people peeing in their car, because it doesn't happen as much as you think.
It happens more at the speedways because you don't sweat. Because
you don't sweat and you're sitting there under red for a while.
Yeah.
It's...
I haven't had to pee more in my car than I had to at Atlanta last week.
It's gross. Like, it does to the paint and it sits in there and, like...
It's gross.
Like, I guess if you're gonna piss the seat, like, dump the water on there and dump it around and try to get it out of there, but, like,
well,
man...
I had... I ran through all the options under that red flag at Atlanta.
Did you pee?
No.
Okay.
That was an option on the table, though. So
it's always an option.
I had to go so bad. I thought if I get tangled up at the end of this race, my bladder's going to explode, and I'm going to be septic, and I'm going to die. But I'm willing to take that risk before I pee in the seat.
Yeah.
So
who's your interior guy?
You don't really have one. Okay. It's just kind of everybody pitches in and just helps me hook my stuff
so
up.
So instead of pissing one guy off, you piss everybody off. Yeah. It's a good move not to.
Literally pissing everybody off. So... I'm sitting there. I'm like, okay, what are my options? Go. Let's put that at the bottom of the list for now. Shelf that. I have to really go. Do I hold it? Option C, I have an empty water bottle. Let me go ahead and just, you know, knock the top off of this thing and see if we can do it. So I start loosening my belts up. And I get the lap belt loose. And I'm like,
shit. You got an in-car camera?
I'm loosening my stuff up. I'm like situating. There's two zippers on a fire suit. There's one on top. There's one on bottom. You can do the math of which was what allows you to do what. So I'm like shimmying around and I like in the sub straps. I'm like trying to get some slack. And I look up and there's the little in-car camera because I never have one. I'm like, oh no.
Yes.
I don't want Clint to be comparing notes. So I went back to reverted to option B, which was just hold it.
Say, hey man, I'm a grower, not a shower.
Yeah. So that's what I did. I audibled because I was fully committed to just filling up a water bottle and tossing it out. But once I realized that I had a Chili's in-car camera, I scrapped that plan.
Thought that web glove was something to talk about. Golly.
Yeah.
Oh, man, talk about interior, guys. It was cool to see Larson's kids in the right side of that car this weekend.
Oh, my goodness. One of those things that made your heart... feel warm and fuzzy. Owen running around. What a cool thing to experience with your kid, man.
This kid's been to Knoxville Nationals, Victory Lane. He's been on top of some cool race cars at some cool racetracks.
He did happen to hit the Great Race Car Dad Award lottery. So congrats to Owen. His dad's really, really good at his job. Audrey running out. It's just, man, what a cool experience to share. Just them two, too. Like, hey, go run out there and see Pop.
I'll tell you this, if those kids touched anything inside that car they weren't supposed to, Cliff Daniels will yell at them.
Yeah.
Hey, watch the window.
This is not going to pass my post-race inspection.
Kyle, Owen scratched the window this weekend. We have to talk about what we're going to do next time.
I need to put a whole new right side quarter window in this thing. It's unacceptable.
Oh, man.
But pretty cool ride. 0-2 handed holding that checkered flag.
Yo, that checkered flag to hold is no joke.
Yeah, he's got some muscles. Like, well, he, you know, if Owen's holding the checkered flag for every one of his dad's wins, he's working up some pretty good muscles. Yeah. I talked to Larson briefly on the way to Driver Intros about Phoenix. He said that was pretty fun. Running IndyCar Phoenix.
I heard
yeah.
he had a moment, they said.
He said it actually drove like comparable to a cup car, just, I don't know, probably 10 seconds faster. So my excitement was already high to watch that fellow in the Indy 500 doing the double. But it is, I don't know if I've been more excited to watch something in motorsports in a long time.
There was a clip of Kimi Räikkönen talking about cup racing this week, too. That was really good. He was giving it props, and he was comparing how F1 has to use DRS and kind of more naturally in IndyCar. I have to go back and watch it. But, yeah, dude, NASCAR racing's good.
The racing product is just, you can't be beat.
It's good.
NASCAR racing product continues to deliver each and every week, and it's going to deliver at Phoenix this weekend. True test. Obviously, we wrap up the season finale. Is that Phoenix? So you want to make sure your stuff's pretty good.
New diffuser?
Simple diffuser.
Simple.
Not complex. It's just simple.
How's it gonna? What's it going to do for the racing?
It's going to allow the cars to be a little more hung out. Allows you to put a little more yaw on the car without instantly breaking traction. So it keeps some rear downforce in it, the more sideways.
Is the racing going to be better?
I think it will. When we tested the simple diffuser and the tires with the thicker gauge rubber that we're going with, the track got really wide, gave you a lot of options. You moved all around, and you can slide the car. You can burn the right rear tire off if you wanted to. So I think it's going to be one of the better Phoenix races that we have seen with the next-gen
car.
How's
tire fall off?
3/4 second over. Ooh, 30.
So you'd be putting some tires on that thing.
I think you'll be putting tires.
Let's go.
Yeah. So that's what we got. That's all I got.
That's it.
Yeah. I'm going to catch up this week. You guys make sure you tune in to everything on social media, but also we continue to have stuff, sweet Arctic gear to give away on our social at _StackAndPennies. And we appreciate you guys. I don't know. What do you think?
I think that we're done.
I think we're done. That's all I got. Whether you're listening on SiriusXM Channel 90, we appreciate you each and every week for Stacking Pennies with us. Goodbye.